This episode of the Press Row Podcast is brought to you by Out of the Park Developments, makers of Out of the Park Baseball 20 and Franchise Hockey Manager 5. And right now, for the Stanley Cup Final, Franchise Hockey Manager 5 is on sale for 75% off. Go to otpdevelopments.com or Steam. Get Franchise Hockey Manager 5 for just $9.99, the best hockey strategy game ever made. And Out of the Park Baseball 20 available today from Steam, otpdevelopments.com, or from EA Origin. And if you are an Origin Access Premier subscriber, you got Out of the Park Baseball 20 waiting there for you as part of that service. Thank you, everybody, for being such a great part of the Press Row Podcast community. We're excited to be right back with you. Enjoy the show.
So we are back here at the Press Row Podcast. It's Brian Weed, Iposta Padre. I'm here with Rich Grisham. We're mainly going to talk about one single topic in this episode, and it's one that's tremendously significant for the future of the gaming industry and really, really impactful, especially for the sports gaming genre. And that has to do with legislation that's been introduced and seems to have some real momentum behind it that would essentially make illegal any form of monetization in video games because it's being targeted at children, but it's worded in a way that is so vague that in its current state would basically cover every game and every form of monetization that developers and publishers would no longer be able to have those digital revenue sources. And that obviously would change many, many things as far as how games are made, what games are made, and how money is made in the industry. Before we get to all that, though, Rich Grisham, you've been playing some of the sports games recently.
I have.
Yeah, you're still, because we're rolling over. We've got MLB The Show from this year, but you've still got some that you regularly play from 2018.
Yes, well, it is a great time in the NBA right now as we enter the finals with the Warriors playing the Raptors. And on my treadmill, as I am wont to do, Mr. Weedy, I have been playing the NBA season. This year I took the Boston Celtics, who are a spectacularly fun video game basketball team with which to play in NBA 2K19. I mean, you got Kyrie Irving, you got Jason Tatum, you got Jaylen Brown, you got Al Horford. There's others that I'm forgetting.
You know, that's a video game team.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
That's not a real life juggernaut, but a video game team, right? A collection of individuals, highly rated individuals who on their own are very good, but maybe don't mesh as a team the way you would hope.
That's why I literally said a great video game basketball team.
I know.
For exactly that reason. Yes, they fly through the air. They hit threes. They make great assists. Al Horford is a magician inside, outside. Jason Tatum is a spectacular player. Kyrie Irving can do whatever he wants. It's fantastic. And right now in my season, I am in the NBA Finals. So quick refresher for those who do not know, the way that I play NBA 2K19 and how I played NBA 2K18 as well is to set the quarter length to 12 minutes. And by the way, I'm just playing, you know, a my league team. Like, I just picked the Celtics in the regular franchise mode, hit the button and go. And so for every game, I have the period length set to 12 minutes. So it's a full 48 minutes. And then I simcast until about midway through the third quarter. And then I just pick it up from there and play the rest of the game, which takes, generally speaking, the amount of time it would take you to play like the quote unquote full game if you're playing like, you know, 4 or 5 minute quarters or whatever, you know, instead of the 12. And it's, you know, sometimes it's really close or tied. Sometimes you're up by 7 or 9 or 12. Sometimes they're up by 12 or 15. It's just great, because it's a lot of variety, and I've spectacularly enjoyed it. I finished with the best record in the Eastern Conference, made it to the NBA Finals. You know, I lost a few games. I don't always win, But, you know, I'm playing NBA 2K19 on the settings that were given to me on this show a few months ago from the czar himself, right? It's a little bit of customization, you know, pro difficulty. But then I have my defensive communication turned on and I have the play art turned on. So you can just see sort of if you go to the right spot and your team executes a play, you can see what's going to happen. You can see what screens are going to get set. You know, you can see who's going to be moving, who's going to be stationary. It's just so good. And I've gotten good at NBA 2K19 in the mode that I play it, right? Which is me against the CPU, right? Traditional video game basketball. And so I made it to the NBA Finals. And in game one, I'm like, okay, I want to play more than midway through. I basically want to play the entire second half. So I'm playing a little bit more. As soon as the third quarter starts, I jump right in. And game one in Golden State, or in Oakland, game one was spectacular, back and forth, back and forth. I was down by like 4 or 5 when I got in. I wound up losing by 2, although it's closer than it sounded because I hit a 3 as time expired after, you know, the game was already out of hand. But it was just great. It was roller coaster. The game plays spectacularly. And then today, Brian, in game two, I prevailed in a similar up and down roller coaster, you know, game back and forth. I would go up by 5 or 7, but then no matter what, Steph Curry would just come down the court and hit a 3, or he hit, you know, Klay Thompson, who's wide open for a 3, or you get Durant. You know, it was just, it's great. NBA 2K19 is, the way that I'm playing it, is just a joy to play. I'm good at it. And I can do stuff that, like, I wasn't really able to do nearly as much in years past. And I've just gotten to really understand how the Celtics team plays with the settings that I have, which are not complicated. You know, I've learned how to use all of the players. You know, Jason Tatum is the guy. You know, I run everything through Tatum, but having Irving just running around and doing what he does is great, too. And so, yeah, it's 1-1 in the NBA Finals. There's no guarantees I win this thing, Brian Weedye, right? And
Would it be fun if you were guaranteed to win it? No,
it wouldn't. Like, yeah. But it's at stake. Like, okay, you know, I lost. I was not expecting to lose, you know, but because I win most of the games. I lose a couple here and there, but I win a lot of them. I do now, anyway. Yeah. It took me, you know, a little while to get there. But so, yeah, it's just, man. Shout out to, you know, OG Scott O'Gallagher, friend of the show. Shout out to Dazar Nino, friend of the show. Shout out to everyone. That game, NBA 2K19, is so good. Again, yeah. I don't do anything other than play this anymore, right? I just play my team. It's just great. It's fun. So well done. It's so well done.
Another NBA 2K19 news, I guess you could say. I went back and looked at just now at the preseason predictions for the season.
Okay.
Using NBA 2K19, which I ran back in October 2018. Won the championship 68% of the time. But to give credit to 2K, and this is, you know, this is a trend with this video game series, and that it's done better than any other series as far as the predictions go with its simulation engine. The Raptors were by far the most likely to make the finals out of the East. They made the finals 71% of the time. Interestingly, the Bucks never made the finals. It was really just the Raptors and a few times here and there the Celtics. Right, okay. Exactly. So we're going back to the video game team thing.
Right.
So even in simulations, they played out that way. And so the Raptors had a 24% chance of winning the finals, and no other team had more than a 4% chance. Giannis Antetokounmpo had the second best chance of winning the MVP also, which it looks like he will end up doing. So I just thought that was worth looking back on, is that it the game picked Warriors, obvious. There'd be something wrong with the game if it didn't. But the Raptors, coming out of a more wide-open East with the Bucks and the Celtics and the 76ers, there was really no other competition for them there. They cruised through They were almost always the one seed, which we know wasn't the case. The Bucks were the one seed, but they rolled through the Eastern Conference. Now they, you know, the Warriors win the majority of the time, obviously, now. But that was also with a healthy Durant and a healthy Cousins, and we don't really know what their status is going to be in the NBA Finals. So it may be a little closer than what the game would have thought before the season began. But yeah, NBA 2K again really nailing it with its predictions. It's, you know, I always, when I do these things, I always look at 2K as the one that tells me the most, because again, I don't run it one time because anything can happen one time. But I run it many, many times, and it just goes to show how their simulation engine really plays out very close, or at least closer than other games do, to the real-life counterparts.
You know, it's easy to say that it should be easy to do that, right? Because the Warriors are the Warriors, and the Raptors have the best player in the East in Kawhi Leonard. But on the other hand, again, like you say, kudos to NBA 2K for getting that right on at such a percentage. That's very impressive. And again, as I play this game, right, and I'm playing the Warriors, the CPU Warriors are not playing unlike the real Warriors play. I don't profess to be an expert in the Warriors, you know, and how they play in NBA 2K. I'm not. I'm just saying, like, you know, Curry was doing what Steph Curry does. You know, he was taking threes. You give him a half of a sliver of a second, you know, and he'll just shoot that ball. He's running around constantly. You know, Durant setting up outside, driving inside, like Klay Thompson getting in right in a good position. Good defense played by Iguodala. Like all that stuff that you would expect happen, and it's just really impressive. It's a really impressive package. NBA 2K19. The more I play it, the more impressed I am with it.
Do you have any other games you want to go over before we move on, Rich?
Well, I did play and finish. I don't think I had finished when I on the last show. I played and finished a season played on Rookie of the MLB The Show mode, March to October, and won the
World
Series.
When you said that, by the way, when you started saying that, I got to thinking, like, in sports games, what can you actually finish? I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. That's the March to October.
Yep. So I won the World Series, and it was fun. And I am very likely going to start a second one and bump it up to veteran difficulty because I'm curious. Because it takes a while, right? It's not like 4 hours. March to October is probably 12 hours, maybe, right? You got to put some time in it. Mm-hmm. But now that I've won it, right, and I've gone through, I'm like, okay, I can do this. I don't even care if I win it again. Right now, it's almost like, okay, now let's make it a little more challenging. Like, you know, if I have problems hitting, which I expect, you know, I'll just have to, you know, get better and stuff like that. So it's going to be interesting. I'm gonna play it again with a different team as well. And I don't know what team I want to take. I want to take someone who's pretty good, right? I want to give myself a chance, you know, bumping it up a level. Mm-hmm. But it's a wonderful mode. It really is just a great way to play the game. It really is, for the first time that they did this, they nailed it. Because it's an investment of time, but nothing close to what it would be. And I like the fact that I don't have to sort of create it myself. Because that's how I've done it in the past, as we've talked about on this show many times, right? How I played the show for years was, you know, every game on the treadmill, two or three at-bats with the guy on player lock, and then open it up in the sixth or seventh inning and go. But still, I would do that for 162 games. You know, like having to sort of do that on your own and then maybe simulate a week or something like that. Versus what they've done with this in giving you plenty of meaningful situations and having some understanding and influence on what's going on with the season. You know, to get that balance right, and I'm not saying it's perfect, but it's really good. To get that right is very difficult. And kudos to the MLB The Show guys for doing that, because I really enjoyed it. And I'm looking forward to playing it again and having a bigger challenge. And if I don't win, it's okay. It's, you know what I mean? It's going to be fine.
Yeah. Consensus on that mode has been really, really positive. That's unusual these days for anything that new that's introduced. If you look at even other things like the moments in MLB The Show this year that they brought on, it's not getting the same type of reaction. So it's a good indication that they executed well on the idea, which was let's provide a full experience in a condensed package, right? Now there's different ways they can expand on that and offer more options and things of that nature. But for the first year, it was an impressive doing on their part.
Yep.
All right, Rich, you want to move on and talk about the law?
Let's do it. Because I am, of course, a legal expert.
Yeah, well, we all are. Everyone
full,
is.
Full disclosure, I am not a legal expert.
just within the last week, we had the bill introduced by a Republican senator, Josh Hawley, and it's co-sponsored by two Democratic senators. And this is where it really got my attention, was that it's getting bipartisan support. I mean, not much gets bipartisan support these days. And if you actually go back, really when this all began was around the time of Star Wars Battlefront 2. That was the game, right? That was so controversial for its implementation of loot boxes. And that was late 2017, early 2018. And right around then, a Democratic representative from Hawaii really raised the idea of government regulation around these practices. So now we have a bill that's been introduced. And to preface it, almost you're really not going to find any bill that gets introduced and then through the process of committees and hearings and months and months of discussion on a bill, changes are made. Most don't actually become law, obviously. Only a select few do actually reach the end, and they often don't look anything like they did when they started. So when we talk about ramifications and everything here in this episode, we are speculating based on what we know now, more so than what we think we might see later down the line, because there could be compromises. It could go away because the gaming industry themselves regulate to a certain extent that pleases lawmakers. The thing about this all is, though, that right now, this is a win for politicians in terms of optics, right? It's all about we're protecting children. There's really no way they lose when they frame it as protecting children. And I'm not saying that's not what they're doing here, because to an extent, this is about that, because we know there are real issues with essentially what's gambling. And most people, I think most reasonable people, see as a form of gambling. And the access to it that children do actually have. There's been plenty of stories about children getting hooked on this and spending their parents' money, and even not just children, but it is an addictive thing for people of all ages. It can be. So right now, though, I want to just give you an idea of how wide-reaching this bill would be, because it covers just about everything. Does it ease a user's progression through content otherwise available within the game without the purchase of such transaction? Does it assist a user in accomplishing an achievement within the game that can otherwise be accomplished without purchase of such transaction? Does it assist a user in receiving an award? Does it permit a user to continue to access content of a game that was previously accessible? Another note is, does it have anything to do with providing a competitive advantage? When you look at these specific bullet points, that covers everything, Rich. That covers card packs. That covers NBA 2K's VC, the way they have it implemented. That covers stubs, any virtual currency, any card packs, which would be under the loot box idea, right? Where you're paying money, real world money, for something and you don't know what you're getting in return. And then also it's a digital item, so there's no tangible real world value to it. So sports games, Rich, they don't just have microtransactions. They don't just have digital revenue sources. They rely on them, right?
Absolutely. Ultimate Team and Diamond Dynasty and, the VC in the world of 2K have redefined how sports video games are structured. And I don't say that in a negative way. It's actually, as we've talked about on this show many times, the reason that many of these games even can exist, because, unit sale increases are very hard to get in material numbers year to year. I'm not saying it can't happen. It certainly can and it does, but it's not certainly nothing you can count on, significant unit increases. But as consoles get bigger and more powerful, and we're moving into another new-ish console generation in a year to a year and a half,
mm-hmm.
They require more and more people and power and technology to make these things come to life in the way that fans expect them to be in a significant percentage of all of that is paid for with post release, non-unit sale based content and revenue. That's the facts. And everybody knows it. It's not like it's hidden. It's completely out there. These are entire economies that have been created around these games for many years too. This is not new. This kind of stuff has been around for, a decade, a little more, and, mm-hmm. and so, naturally over the course of 5 to 10 years, as businesses align themselves, their resources with what gets time and attention, those things are going to happen. So, it's absolutely a fair statement that this addresses the fundamentals of console sports video games as we know them.
And not only that, but specifically FIFA has been called out by Senator Hawley in an interview at Kotaku. And here I'll quote it. FIFA would indeed be covered by this legislation, to be clear. EA has certainly expressed their, shall we say, concern over this legislation. And that's no surprise. Again, like we said, the sports games would absolutely be hit hard and would fall underneath pretty much every one of these bullet points. And FIFA, huge money. NBA 2K, huge money. Madden, huge money. MLB The Show, making big money now. They need those pipelines of digital revenue. We've reached a point now where we talked about it years ago, and that's self-regulation and didn't happen. And then you had disastrous attempts at heavy monetization with NBA 2K in particular. Now they've curbed those things to an extent. EA has always done a really good job at keeping their currency and everything to within Ultimate Team, not affecting the rest of the game. But really, the legislation and the concerns aren't about, does this annoy you? Does this affect the game's design? It's about children having access to these elements and the negative effects that it can have on them.
Those are legitimate concerns, by the way.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Like predatory, video game attempts to extract money from kids is not a good thing, which I think is where the sentiment of this originated.
Well, let me tell you how it frames it, too, because this is, again, it's... it's being called, you know, an attempt to, you know, protect children essentially from exactly what predatory practices and just having access to gambling, which they shouldn't have. When the bill talks about, you know, blocking loot boxes and everything associated with them from games marketed and sold to children, right? We're not talking about just kids games, however you want to classify them. Within the bill, here's how they classify it. It goes as far as the publisher has constructive knowledge that any of its users are under the age of 18, that any any well, then that's of its everyone. Users, it's everything. Yeah.
That's everything.
It's everything. Yeah. So it's not just sports games, which obviously are pushed towards a younger crowd because the leagues themselves push them themselves towards the younger crowds because they want to build up their fan bases for the future. But it's pretty much everything. As it stands right now, it's pretty much everything, which is scary in a sense. But when I read through all this, I also think about the way negotiations work, right? You go hard at first, and then you end up somewhere closer to the middle when there's a negotiation process. And that's probably what's going to happen. That they really went to the extreme, and I listened to you guys talk a little bit about it on the Dodcast this weekend, where you have right here the extreme end of things, which is unlikely to materialize, you know, in any way. But you can see where they're starting from, and then you're going to have lobbyists get involved, and it's going to become a little more messy down the line. And there's big money on the side of publishers, video game publishers and associated, they are going to come hard to try and stop this. Now it's really interesting to wonder what that's going to lead to, Rich. But right now what we're looking at is pretty dramatic.
So I'm not a political expert nor a legal expert. I do know, just because I read it in the Wall Street Journal in the last day or so, for example, you talk about bipartisan support. There was a bill that passed like 417-3, you know, in the House to support significant changes in 401ks, right? Like how people can access their money and stuff like that. So like, I just read that. Well, the most interesting part of that article was just that it was completely overwhelmingly bipartisan. I thought, wow, I haven't seen anything like that in a long time. So it can happen. And that was an economic issue. And this could be thought of as an economic issue. So once things like this start to take on a life, right, which this is doing, you know, there's certainly reason for thinking, you know, you don't want to say, oh, this is not going to happen. Right. But like I said, I'm not a political expert, not a legal expert. I don't know how close whatever this starting point is to when it could be something that would then be ultimately like presented to the various places that it would.
I think the process probably a year or longer.
I just what I can't help but think is there's a difference between the sentiment that this is about and the realities of what problems are. Right. So like in the sports video game world, it's clear that fans enjoy this stuff, right? Like, I think we shouldn't lose sight of that.
There's a lot
fans
of
really, I mean, people pay money to NBA 2K happily for VC. They pay money to EA happily for Ultimate Team, you know, points. They do this, and I say happily in air quotes, but also not, right? If you like what you're playing, you're much more inclined to pay more money than if you don't like what you're playing. My only
it's
point
also,
is that
it, but
people
it may
like
not,
it.
Right? We, but at the same time, right? It may not be healthy. It may not be.
Yeah, but again, yes, right. However, like, you know, healthy, the whole concept, like, you know, could you have a potential gambling problem situation style thing with this? Absolutely, you could. I don't want to hand wave that away. However, I also want to say, like, again, that's that there's, it's not like there is some sort of epidemic of this happening. You know what I mean? With Ultimate Team Sports.
Anecdotal. There's anecdotal stories, but it's, you know, we don't really know.
My point is there's a lot of people who like playing this. That's what I'm saying, right? Like, you're talking about, again, on the extreme, which would be eliminating, you know, post-issue DLC. Like, you're talking about fundamentally changing the way that people enjoy to play the game. Not everybody. I don't play a lot of these kinds of modes. I don't. I'm glad they exist because that lets me play game two of the NBA Finals and have an amazing experience just playing in my, you know, my league. You know, that's the way that I look at it anyway. You know what I mean? So, you know, I just really think that once people start really looking at what the sentiment this is about, which is, again, predatory on, you know, uninformed and younger people who, you know, that's you're going to be hard pressed to find people who will have any problem with trying to prevent things like that from happening. What'll be interesting is, you know, and you said they mentioned FIFA, like, do they go for stuff like Ultimate Team? And do they, and what does that even mean? Is it like, this is illegal, or is it, no, you just got a big, you know, slap an 18 plus sticker on, you know, the package. Like, again,
but even if you do that, you know what the NFL and the NBA, they would not allow that.
Well, that's another thing we haven't talked about yet, which is the leagues don't want to be associated with something that is considered nefarious, right? Or like predatory against kids, right? This has, you know, these are multi-billion-dollar leagues, and the last thing they want is to be associated with something like that, unless they're the ones who are doing it, right? Like the leagues now, yeah, after the last, you know, however many decades of and properly, I believe, disavowing themselves from gambling, now that it's become, and, you know, it's going to be, you know, soon every state's going to have it and you can gamble anywhere legally. And so they're smartly getting into it, you know, to various degrees. So that changes the tenor of it. But regardless, I don't think the leagues, even in the changing, you know, gambling landscape, want to be viewed as willing participants and ripping off kids. You know what I mean? Which is, again, like, I don't think that's what this is really about. But again, to your point, they mentioned FIFA. Maybe it is. I mean, maybe they think FIFA goes too far in not letting people be aware of how much they're spending or what it means. I don't know.
You know, one of the things we talked about, and a few of the companies have done, I think EA, and I believe the show does it now, is they show pack odds. Right. The actual percentages that you have of getting something. That's, for a long time, they didn't do that. We thought that was the really the absolute minimum they needed to do, because if you try and compare it as far as gambling goes, I know a lot of people will point to like trading cards. And is that gambling? Well, trading cards have always had odds on their boxes. And that's what really kind of protected it from that classification. So pack odds, that was one way to, but apparently that wasn't enough as far as legislators go, and they're looking at FIFA. I personally, look, we know there are a lot of people who spend, well, a lot is the wrong way to say it, but there are people who spend thousands of dollars in Ultimate Team, right?
Sure.
There are people who spend thousands of dollars on VC in NBA 2K.
God bless them. No, know, seriously, if you're in a position where you can do that and you want to,
right,
you know, good for you. So, because I'm not.
Right. So this is where we get back to, you know, as far as, are those people, should they be spending that money? Look, I don't tell people how to spend their money. The government likes to often tell you how you're spending money and whether something's good for you or not. So that's where they're coming in and saying, you know, addiction, there's addiction issues here because it is gambling. They design those things. There's a reason why they put so much effort into creating flashy pack openings, right? It's because psychologically
they look great.
It's a psychological thing, just like when you walk into a casino and you hear the sounds and you see the flashing lights, and it's the same thing.
I disagree with that. I mean, disagree. Look, from personal standpoint, I'm going to tell you, Brian Wiedei, right? Yeah. This is completely straightforward. When we designed the pack opening for Out of the Park Baseball for Perfect Team, the mantra was this has to look good when you're streaming because that's what we want. This had nothing to do with anything else. It's just we want it to look really cool when we're streaming.
Why do you want it to look good when you're streaming so that other people want to go and open? Yeah, right. Exactly. Right. But that's triggering
that's
something
nothing to
in your
gambling.
Brain.
It's not some sort of nefarious, like, we're not pointing to Vegas casinos and thinking, oh, that's what we're going for. Not at all. No way.
So getting off your example, though, Rich, you would have to agree that a lot of those things are designed with that in mind, especially when you look at the free-to-play games on mobile and things
like
that.
Well, okay, now you're going in a different direction. I'm talking about a very specific thing that you were talking about.
Right.
You know what I mean? Which is pack opening. Uh-huh. I just wanted to be very clear about that. So, you know, when you go into mobile games, you know, and free-to-play games, that's a completely different thing. I don't know. All I know about those games is what I read here and there. I don't have any experience with them. But yeah, clearly there's super smart people who have all sorts of algorithms that they put together. And, you know, it's easy for me. Yeah, algorithms, I don't even know what that means, right? But they do it. The people who do the algorithms, they know what they're doing. And they're designed to, like, you know, measure and influence user behavior so that they will click and buy. Like that's proven. It's been talked about forever. I don't think anyone's even like trying to pretend that's not the case. You know, mm-hmm. that's what's going on. And again, there's certainly some, I believe a lot in free markets, Ryan. You know what I mean? Like, I believe that the market will determine what's good and what's bad in a lot of cases, especially in stuff like video games, right? Like, we're not talking things that impact the environment or massive, you know, infrastructure. I'm talking about video games, right? I think in a lot of cases, we should let the market dictate it. And I think the vast majority of these problems are handled by, you know, the people being a little responsible for what they're doing as parents and as consumers and stuff like that too. But, you know, again, I'm not an expert in this kind of stuff. So I don't want to sound too, you know, like I'm sitting here on my high horse, which I think it might sound like I am sometimes.
So let's hypothesize a little here. Let's say worst case scenario, the bill passes as it is, and pretty much every form of monetization is removed from video games. Let's talk about the sports games, Rich. What happens to NBA Live?
So wait a second. So let's just be super clear what you're saying here. You're saying that in a year and a half, there's a situation where there's basically the way that we're able to play sports games today no longer exist. No Ultimate Team, no DLC, no nothing.
Yeah. So under that, admittedly unlikely scenario, Rich, I just want to really kind of press how big of an impact it would have
I'm gonna preempt the whole conversation and say it'll destroy the entire industry. The not just sports games, it'll destroy the entire industry because this is what so many games are built off of. So if we're talking the extreme, which is what you're saying, you know what I mean? If the extreme, which is there is no more DLC, no more ability to spend money in a game on stuff, none. That destroys everything because the industry has been built upon that, as it should have been, because that's how the industry has gone in the last, you know, 10 years, as you have shifted from focusing completely on unit sales and that being your only revenue opportunity to, oh wait, people can buy stuff afterwards. And, you know, again, that shift is momentous in every way. So if all of a sudden you're on the complete extreme in that everything related to how you play Ultimate Team or Diamond Dynasty is illegal, that pretty much takes everything out. Because there's no reason to make the games anymore. Because there's no way that you could afford to pay for them. Because that revenue that we're talking about has got to be 60, 70% by now, I'm thinking. I don't have any facts to back that statement up. But it ain't like it's 5 or 10 or 15. The game, it's not even worth it to make the game anymore from those economics. Just all you can do is unit sales, and you can't monetize anything after that. With how much, you know, in a next gen console world, there'd be no way to pay for it. It wouldn't make sense.
So let's go to the most successful in North America game right now is NBA 2K. NBA 2K Take Two. They just recently came to an agreement with the NBA for a licensing deal, $1.1 billion over 7 years, Rich. How would they feel?
Would have to be predicated. You would have to believe predicated almost completely by the revenue made, which they are clear has been significantly based on VC. Like this is not, no one's hiding anything. We're all talking about it. We're all aware of what is driving investment in sports video games. It is post unit sale revenue, right? There would be no reason, if I'm Strauss Zelnick, and man, would it be fun to be Strauss Zelnick, who's the CEO of Take-Two.
Sure.
If I'm him, and all of a sudden, again, we're talking the extreme all the way to where you can't do VC anymore.
Mm-hmm.
With as much money and time and effort that it costs to make NBA 2K, I'd cancel it, because there'd be no way you could even come close to producing a game that would be on par with what you have been producing if all that revenue just disappeared. There'd be no way. It would just be, it would not make the slightest bit of sense. The only reason Take-Two still makes NBA 2K is because it alone is such a profitable venture, as it should be, because it's spectacular, right? Strauss Zelnick has been very clear over the years that he does not want to have anything licensed. He wants to own all his own IP, right? That's why they make Grand Theft Auto, and that's not what they make, but like, you know, they own Grand Theft Auto, they own Red Dead, they own a whole bunch of their own IP. They got out of most of their licensed stuff, certainly almost completely out of the licensed sports, but they kept NBA 2K because, you know, A, it was really good, and B, it was profitable, and they have invested in it. But they would not make anything close to their investment if all that went away. There'd be no point, right? You know, they probably wouldn't even be able to pay for it, because it is so big. Yeah. Now, you know what I mean? Like, it just wouldn't make any sense.
They'd probably find a way to buy themselves out of that deal.
Well, they would have to, because the NBA, because the deal is predicated on VC. And
it's not a bad thing.
It's not a bad thing. It's predicated on what they've been doing for the last 5 years. That's what any business deal is predicated on. You know what I mean? If you change the rules after the fact, you know, that they're, you know, it's not nobody's fault.
Well, I feel like NBA 2K, FIFA, and Madden could survive. I don't think they would thrive.
They wouldn't survive. Because you
think they'd be gone?
They'd be gone because, again, with what it will take to make the kind of game that people expect on the consoles that you're going to have, right? You're talking the next 2, 3, 4 years. There's no way that if all you could count on is unit sales, there's no way to pay for that game anymore. It doesn't exist. The games today take so much, so many people, so much art, that if you're all of a sudden you remove 75% of your revenue opportunities, it makes no sense to make the game.
And it's still, it's hard to imagine like an NBA 2K selling 10 million or FIFA selling 14 million.
But they wouldn't sell 10 million or 14 million if they didn't have Ultimate Team.
Well, that's a good point.
They would not.
How many people buy it for that now?
A lot.
This is where I was going to say, what could they do under that scenario to survive? I don't know, you know, if it would work or not, but the first thing that came to mind was sell an Ultimate Team game by itself. So you'd have FIFA Ultimate Team, you buy it for, I don't know, $40, but then it doesn't involve any monetization once you're in. I don't know how that would work for them financially, because the $40 would be more than some people are paying to play Ultimate Team. It'll be a lot less than some people are paying to play Ultimate Team. It would also fracture off sales from a regular FIFA game. So I don't know. That just, you know, I always thought an Ultimate Team game on its own free to play could happen. But with this, if this law was in place, you couldn't even do that.
So let's get off the extreme, right? Because I think, you know, I don't think we believe in our heart of hearts that the way that EA Sports and Take-Two build their video games is really going to be forced to change that drastically, right? Can we? I'm comfortable saying I don't think it'll be anything to that extreme.
No.
What's more likely in your mind?
So, like I said, I think this has momentum to where they want something to happen. They want to be able to talk about what they're doing to protect children. I think you're going to end up with some sort of, okay, first of all, being more upfront with things like pack odds and everything. You have to be upfront with that stuff. But also, I was going to say age gating, but that's so difficult. I don't know how you do that. But definitely as far as spending money, there needs to be more protections in place as far as preventing people from using parents' credit cards and things of that nature, right? That's where you find a lot of the trouble.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I think it's incumbent on the providers of the platform to have proper things in place. And look, Brian, you know, I'm a dad. I have a son who is 11. And I have very simple things in place that are put in place by Nintendo, by Valve with Steam, right? Like, my son can't just go buy anything. Like, his account's tied to mine. And if he wants something, I gotta either go in and buy it myself, or I have to approve it. You know what I mean? Like, there's those. And good on those companies for putting that stuff in place. Right now, does that mean that I'm some, you know, awesome person who's like, you know, bragging about that? No, my point is that if everybody that has the platform puts the right parental controls in place, a lot of this can be, a lot of the concern can be mitigated. And I kind of think that is the case in a lot of places already.
But we need headlines, Rich. Politicians need headlines. This is nothing new. It's just the hot subject of the moment, right? It's going somewhere. But like you said, we both agree we're not going to have this scenario where it just decimates all of gaming. Right. But that's because it's just stunning to see. That's what we're looking at right now. And that's what we're seeing bipartisan support on right now. And that's all likely to change, as we've mentioned many times. But
here's what I'm going to find interesting, Brian.
Yeah.
Right. Is what is going to happen, right? I feel like I keep saying it, but I don't know anything about lobbying, right? But we know that there is a video game lobbying organization, right? The ESA, right? Who also puts on E3. Like, this is their... It'll be interesting to see, you know, there's been some reports on that organization and some changes there. So it'll be interesting to see, like, do they get in front of this, or does something unfortunate happen, sort of sneak up? You know, the things have a tendency of doing that sometimes. You know, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens over the course of this. Does this thing go away? Does it get lobbied away? You know, there are cynical folks like, you know, our buddy Pete Dodd, who's like, well, this is just, you know, politicians recognizing there's a multi-billion dollar industry that we're not getting some good lobbying money from. So let's get them all spun up so we can make that happen. You know, I don't necessarily subscribe to that theory, but, you know, again, I'm not a political guy. I kind of avoid politics more than anything, you know? So, you know, who knows? It's interesting, you know, in how this has come up, and it's sort of gotten a little bit of legs and it continues to not go away. And then what is the response of the industry going to be, you know, Take-Two and Electronic Arts and Activision and Valve. And there's a lot of companies with a lot of money at stake, Microsoft, Sony, sure, you know what I mean? Like Nintendo, like this is, if this really picks up steam, there's a lot of people with a lot at stake that are going to want to have something to say, and who's going to organize that, and what is that going to look like? Very interesting stuff coming up.
All right. Well, Rich, it was good catching up with you and talking about the potential decimation of the industry we love.
good thing it's not going to happen.
Yeah, it's not. But it's just kind of fascinating to me see how it's developing and how, like you said, it's sticking around. It's got some momentum, and that's somewhat unusual in government these days. So we'll keep an eye on that, and we'll touch back on it as things change or as things happen. I think we should do another show, Rich, post EA Play E3 in a couple weeks.
Let's do it.
Look forward to that. Should get a lot of interesting news out of there. And we'll see. We'll see what's going on with Madden. Obviously, it has released quite a bit of information for Madden 20. But there are many, many other sports games that are slated to come out, as always, in late summer, early fall. So we'll get some stuff on them, too, I think, coming up. So that's always fun. So thank you, Rich. Enjoyed getting to talk with you again.
Right back at you, man. This was a lot of fun. Let's do it again real soon.
Absolutely. Take care, everyone.